Chapter 8, Communication in Organization. Now, when we talk of communication in organization, Peter Drucker, the author of Business Management, says that the success of an individual is directly related to effective communication. Yes, this is absolutely correct, because our presentation skills, the ability to communicate effectively, the ability to give a message in an appropriate manner depending on who our target audience is. It is thus important that the way you communicate, the words used, are going to play a crucial role for the message to reach the audience in an effective manner. Now, we talk of the message, to whom are we going to convey the information to, right? What is it in terms of accuracy? That means using fewer or limited words depending on what I want to convey. Say it is a feedback. So how do I convey a feedback? It should be specific or general. So a lot to do with the kind of message which needs to be conveyed. Then the medium, is it face to face? Is it via an email? You talk of motivation, coordination in any organization, which also plays a very important role. And then we talk of the various barriers. Once we finish discussing communication in organizations, what will be clearer? The objectives when we talk of business communication, the network. That means the hierarchy in an organization, the way communication takes place at various levels, which could be upward communication, downward communication, horizontal communication, various aspects. Various directions of communications, as we just said, why and when to use communication in a particular direction. Employee morale, which is extremely important, and the channels of communication. Then you have company websites, which are extremely important today. How do people view your company? A lot of it is through websites. Importance of external communication in attracting talent. Organizational communication as a field is the consideration, analysis, and criticism of the role of communication in organizational context. What does this mean? When we talk of communication in any organization, we need to understand what is the purpose for me to communicate with, say, my team members. Then, why am I communicating this to the team members? Have I evaluated and analyzed what I'm going to communicate to them? See, ideally, there is Diwali or Christmas coming up. So I would like to see that there should be an increase in the sales of our products. I would like to speak to the marketing manager. I'd like to speak to the production manager. I'd like to speak to the team members as to what can be done. So we see an increase in the demand for our products, especially since it's festival time. Business communication is goal oriented. There has to be a short-term goal, there has to be long-term goal or goals. The rules, regulations, and policy of a company have to be communicated to people within and outside the organization. Business communication is regulated by certain rules and norms. Every organization has to have certain rules, regulations, policies. And they have to be followed by one and all. In early times, business communication was limited to paperwork, telephone calls, etc. But now, with the advent of technology, we have cell phones, video conferencing, emails, satellite communication to support business communication. Effective business communication helps in building goodwill of an organization. Yes, today, with advance in technology, audio-video conferencing, teleconferencing, it makes life easier for us. See, for example, if you have a factory, say, in Bombay, in Bangalore, in Delhi. Via audio-video conferencing, you're saving time. It is equally cost-effective because you're not spending that kind of money going and coming. That means to and fro in terms of traveling. You are also able to connect to the people on a day-to-day basis if you have the equipment in terms of audio-video conferencing. So, in short, when we talk of advent of technology, it to a great extent has made life simpler. More than that, we have reached a stage where the ability to communicate with an individual in any part of the world has been easier and much easier than it could ever have been before. Until 1930s, organizational communication as a discipline consisted of a few professors within speech departments who had a particular interest in speaking and writing in business settings. This was years back. Prior World War II, when you talk of effective communication, it had a different meaning. The concept of communication had a different thought process as what it is today. Today, to be successful, effective communication is most important. Today, to achieve the goals, coordination, free flow of communication is extremely crucial. Today, for facing the kind of competition which we see in our day-to-day lives, having cohesion, bonding with the people within an organization is extremely crucial. Several publications stand out as works broadening the scope and recognizing the importance of communication in the organization process and in using the term organizational communication. There have been varied views in terms of organizational communication. When I say varied views, the concept prior to World War, the concept post-World War, the concept post-liberalization has taken a different meaning each time with effective communication. Nobel laureate Herbert Simon wrote in 1947 about organization communication systems, saying communication is absolutely essential to organizations. What is it which keeps people motivated in an organization? What is it which keeps people together or having an effective flow in terms of communication in an organization? The free will to communicate, the ability to express your ideas, whether they may or may not be accepted by one and all, the ability to feel that people in your organization are approachable. In the 1950s, organizational communication focused largely on the role of communication in improving organizational life and organizational output. So in the 1950s, we can say that communication focused on results. What was the main aspect? That we want results. Whether there is communication between people at top management or subordinates, whether there's effective interaction, whether there is effective exchange of ideas and thought process, dialogue, information, even if it is not there, result has to be effective. Today, what is the concept? To great extent, dialogue, having the ability to be committed to work, giving and taking appropriate information, having conversations whenever required, that's what keeps communication going. In the 1980s, the field turned away from business-oriented approach to communication and became concerned with the constitutive role of communication in organizing. In 1990s, critical theory influence on the field was felt as organizational communication scholars focused more on communication's possibilities to oppress and liberate organizational members. That means when we talk through 1960s, 1980s, what is the focus on? Looking at communication as an intentional act designed to transfer an idea. You're conveying information with a meaning. an idea or thought process which has to be conveyed. Research expanded beyond the issue of how to make people understand what I'm saying to tackle questions such as how does the act of communicating change or even define who I am. Let's take ideally an example of Ratan Tata. He launched the Nano. How did he play an important role in convincing common man as to he is the first person to have a car manufactured at this cost? So, first and foremost, when it comes to the question, who I am, in that case, when he communicated to the public was aware and is aware as to who he is. So, when an individual like him wants to influence the mindset or attitude of the public, since he is an individual who is known to contribute to the welfare of society, for him to change the mindset or attitude of a large number of people can get easier. So when we talk of effective communication, does or do your ideas help to bring a shift in the thought process of individuals? Why do organizations that seem to be saying similar things achieve very different results? Why is it that some organizations achieve different or maybe even better results than the others when the kind of work they're doing is more or less same as what other organizations are doing? And to what extent are my relationship with others affected by our various organizational contexts? How does my rapport, my behavior, my ability to communicate bring about a difference with the people in the organization? Networks are another important aspect of direction and flow of communication. When we talk of networks, it is more about information being transferred in a structured manner. When we talk of networks, we can talk of hierarchy. When we talk of networks, we are talking of the flow of information from one channel to another. That means from one level to another, from one individual who could be a subordinate, giving information to his immediate boss. So various ways of transferring information. It has been proved that communication patterns or networks influence groups in several important ways. Yes, who is communicating to whom? How is the person communicating? Is the person having clarity of thought? Very important aspect, is the person having a vision? You know, there's a saying that what is worse than not having eyesight? Not having vision. Very important in life to have a vision, because it is that vision which takes you ahead in life. Communication networks may affect the group's completion of tasks assigned on time, the position of the de facto leader in the group, or they may affect the group members' satisfaction from occupying certain positions in the network. Now, we need to understand that when a message is being conveyed, ideally, who is conveying it to whom? Is it put forward effectively? Is it ideally put forward in a manner whereby there's a reduction in terms of information? That means the main aspects of the message is probably lost, or probably at times a person has intentionally not conveyed a message to his subordinate due to his own insecurities, due to probably his own thought process whereby he is caught up in a personal issue. Although these findings are based on laboratory experiments, they have important implications for the dynamics of communication in formal organizations. When you say dynamics, what is the meaning of dynamics? In every organization, there will be group dynamics. That means some or the other people probably may not really get along. Some sort of friction in a group whereby there are five people working for a project, one of them does not get along with the other four. Probably due to his perceptions, attitude, which may not be easy for the others to understand. Probably he may feel he's contributing much more in terms of results in the group. So there's a change in his behavior and attitude. all those aspects. Now, there are four patterns of communication network: chain, wheel, star, and all channel. We will discuss each one of these. We will discuss how they are effective. We will discuss probably what advantage and maybe to an extent what disadvantage each of them can ideally have. The chain can readily be seen to represent hierarchical pattern. When you talk of a chain, it goes in a hierarchical manner. That means A to B, B to C, C to D. That characterizes strictly formal information flow from the top down. That means from top management to subordinates. And of course, it will be vice versa, from subordinates to top management. But it goes in that hierarchical manner in military and some types of business organization. If you are a part of chain network, members communicate with each other in a pre-planned sequence. An example of chain network is an assembly line group. In an assembly line, employees only communicate with those whose work proceeds or follow their own. That means A will share information with B, B will only share it with C because it will be important for B to send that information to C. And there is coordination between the two. C will only send it to D because it will be important when ideally the information shared by C to D will ideally reach out for an effective result. In an assembly line, employees communicate with those, that's what we just said, whose work proceeds or follows their own. Like wheel networks, chain networks do not exist in team. I will discuss wheel network, but in chain network, it means that all the burden, we could use the word burden, or all the task is mainly done by the person at top management. So in this case, when we say A, A is the person at top management. He is the one completely looking into it. He is the one going to take charge of it. What is the disadvantage here? That there may be loss of information at every level. Reducing the details or aspect of a message at every level may happen. So we need to understand that this can be a disadvantage. This can happen due to various reasons. At times, C may not convey information to D out of insecurity, assuming that D will do much better. At times, C may not convey enough information to D, feeling that D doesn't need to know all the information when D should. So various reasons for this. At times, C may simply forget to give the crucial information. So ideally, in today's day and age, a better way of communication is through email. So it serves as proof, it's a record, and ideally, even if you missed out points, it can be put forward to you that crucial points were not put forward by you. The wheel can be compared with a typical autocratic organization, meaning one man rule and limited employee participation. If you are in a wheel network, information flows from one central member of the group to the rest of the members. That means when we talk of wheel communication or wheel network rather, there's one person in the center. Let's take A. If A is in the center, A communicates with B, C, D, E. There is not much communication, or rather maybe no communication between B, C, D, E. What is the difference between wheel and chain? In chain, there is no team as such. In wheel, there is a team, as the word suggests, a wheel. What is another difference between wheel and chain? In chain, communication flows from one person to another. Of course, it goes in a hierarchical order, but it goes from one person to another. In wheel, all the people do not necessarily communicate with one another, but they communicate with one individual. So here I said A. So B communicates with A, C communicates with A, D communicates with A, and E communicates with A. So that is why they're talking of autocratic in this case. For example, a group of independent makeup consultants who report to one regional mentor. They do not need to interact with one another in order to perform. Or probably you can put it forward in this manner, that you have the CEO, the production manager interacts with the CEO, the finance manager interacts with the CEO, the marketing manager interacts with the CEO, someone looking into advertising and PR interacts with the CEO. So all of them ideally are in touch with the CEO and communicating on and off with him. Real networks do not exist in teams. Since teams signify intense interaction between all members of a group. What are we trying to say? When we talk of a team, in a team, everybody interacts with one another. Just some time back, I said real network has teams. That means on the whole, B, C, D, E is one team. But in real network, ideally, what is the purpose of this team? That it is under one umbrella, but they do not interact with each other. That is why they're saying that they do not exist in team. Is there any scope of confusion here? What we're trying to see on one side, that with real network, different people are interacting with that one person. In a team, everyone interacts with the other. That is why they're saying that they do not exist in teams. The star is similar to the basic formal structure of many organizations. When we see star, ideally, again, there is one person who's ideally transferring the message to the others. So star is similar to wheel, because that one individual is ideally giving information to the others. So here when we talk of wheel, it can be compared with a typical autocratic organization, because you're talking of this individual. Now on the whole, I would call this a team. But why are we saying that wheel network does not exist in teams? Because he cannot ideally interact with him, which is why we say they do not exist in teams. The all channel network is analogous to the free flow of communication in a group that encourages all of its members to become involved in group decision process. In all channel network, as the word suggests, all, each one interacts with the other. What is one very important aspect for this? That when you talk of group decision process, each one feels involved. Each one feels a part of the organization. Each one feels a sense of belongingness as far as the organization is concerned. The all channel network may be compared to some of the informal communication networks. All progressive organizations promote this all channel network, as it pools talent of everybody who matters into decision making and implementation process. An all channel network is found in teams. All channel network, A communicates with C, C communicates with E, B communicates with D. Everyone has the ability to interact with the other. There is free flow of communication. There's effective communication. Teamwork is characterized with high levels of intense communication. Each team member communicates with every other team member. Information flows in all directions. Computer programs often utilize to maintain effective communication in teams due to their efficiency. So we need to understand that as far as all channels network is concerned, it definitely lets each one be approachable as far as the other is concerned, in spite of the designations, in spite of what role each one may play. When we talk of all channel network, it seems that this definitely helps one achieve the goals better and faster. In patterns with positions located centrally, such as wheel and star, centrally, the person in the center takes charge. An organization quickly develops around the people occupying these central position. That means if this is the person in the center, all the others, start realizing we have to communicate with him or her. All the others start realizing that this is most necessary for us to see to it that we ideally take this individual with whom we can approach on a daily basis or as and when required. In such patterns, the organization is more stable and errors in performance are lower than in patterns having a lower degree of centrality, such as circle. I feel this is individualistic. Very often, if there is communication between each of the persons, and ideally there is enough leverage given to one and all to be involved in the decision making process, to be involved to ideally move ahead in terms of a project, then it would also make a difference. But they are saying that when you talk of central positions, people occupying central positions, then all will and ideally star would play an important role. Decisions once taken are implemented without any resistance by employees on the periphery. That means when you talk of star, when you talk of will, it is understood that the decisions once taken are followed. However, it is also found that the morale of members in high centrality patterns are relatively low. Why? The reason being only persons occupying central positions were responsible for organizational decisions. Others did not participate. Well, if others are not given a choice to participate, of course, it will affect their morale. But what we see in this kind of a situation is that you should see more scope and opportunities in terms of growth. And you should realize that one day you too will see yourself at that level where you will be taking decisions. People will report to you. People will ideally pick up the way you function, the way you work. Like, for example, when the mother hen pecks the grain, out of a brood of chicks of 12 or 14, 2 to 3 imitate the mother hen exactly. So this is what they're saying when you talk of people who are occupying central positions. We should see to the way they behave, react, respond, their attitude, how they deal in terms of being assertive, how they're interacting with one and all. And thus, we should strive to reach that level, because otherwise it can create an environment where people would feel low in terms of morale. Why does this also happen? Because there is nothing motivating you. You're not allowed to take decisions. You're not allowed to ideally, even if you express ideas, it depends whether the individual at top management would be willing to hear out your ideas or probably even implement your ideas. So it keeps the morale low. It makes you feel you're just working as to what has been told to you and you're delivering results. So that keeps you somewhere not in the loop, which otherwise you wish to be. It is speculated that this lower morale could in the long run lower the accuracy and speed of such networks. So you may start feeling, why should I ideally even bother? So when you start saying this, it means your morale is low. Okay? A possibility that is not acceptable to any progressive organizations operating in a competitive environment. What we say is that wherever you are working, competition is a very crucial aspect. So it is extremely important that your morale has to be high no matter what. You have to be able to relate to the people in your organization. You should feel a part of the organization, even though very often you're not given a chance to take part in the decision-making process or you're not expected to do anything beyond your regular work. So it may be concluded that the structure of communications within an organization will have a significant influence on the accuracy of decisions, the speed with which they can be reached, and the contentment of the people involved. So we need to understand that decisions taken It's assumed that people at top management quick with decisions. It is assumed that when they reach to an effective decision, at times the decision making skills are extremely crucial. There may be situations whereby you have to decide and take a call within the next 5 minutes, and there may be situations whereby you're given enough time to decide what to do. For example, if you see a dip in the sales of your product and it is actually season time, you realize that there are a lot of festivals, there are a lot of reasons for the product to do well. What ideally can be done? Take for example Cadbury's, when they found worms in the chocolate. What was the one step they took? They ideally decided, let us take Amitabh Bachchan in that advertisement. That definitely will have an impact on the masses. Especially if they realize, when we talk of they, we're talking of the company, Cadbury's. They realized that it was Diwali time. People were not placing orders. There was a dip in sales. This was, of course, after the worms were found in Cadbury's chocolate. So taking Amitabh Bachchan in that advertisement definitely made a difference. Also, at the same time, they changed the foil, the wrapping. So the two immediate steps taken by them at the right time, that means we talk of decision, led to effective results. Now, of course, Amitabh Bachchan has that credibility, reliability, reputation, esteem. So it was a correct decision taken by the company. Consequently, in networks in which the responsibility for initiating and passing messages is shared more evenly among the members, the group's morale in the long run will be better. That means each person is made to feel a part of the organization. The information is shared with one and all. No individual in the group or in the organization or in the team feels that there is lack of information or information is not conveyed appropriately to him or her just because of his designation. And that kind of communication where each one is made to feel they belong to the organization, it will definitely boost the morale and it will be beneficial in the long run. One way versus two way communication. One way communication is considered formal communication as it occurs in traditional military organizations. Messages have a one way directional characteristic. I will discuss this with you, of course. In the military organization, the formal communication proceeds from superior to subordinate. And its content is presumably clear because it originates at a higher level of expertise and experience. Military communications also carry the additional assumption that the superior is responsible for making his communication clear and understandable to his subordinates. When we talk of one-way communication, why is it known as military? Because only one person is giving the instructions. They have to be followed by the others. There are no discussions ideally. There is no why, if, then. When we talk of one-way communication, the content which is put forward is absolutely clear. That means if there is a task which needs to be done within a short span of time, so it is put forward in an assertive manner. It is put forward in a manner whereby it is told clearly to the team members. We need to achieve these numbers by the next week. It's one way. It's told in a clear-cut, direct manner. There is no room or scope for ambiguity. There is no discussion here. What is put forward has to be lived up to. Now, when we talk of military communications, it carries the additional assumption that the superior is responsible for making his communication clear and understandable to his subordinates. So what is told is put forward in a very clear, direct manner. There ideally are instructions given in a manner whereby the team ideally has to blindly follow those instructions. This type of organization assumes that there's little need for two-way exchanges between organizational levels, except as they're initiated by a higher level. Now, since it is initiated by a person at top management, the others do not see a chance to ideally discuss. They do not see a chance because information is put forward in a clear manner. They do not ideally wish to communicate because it is communicated to them that this has to be followed. For example, when the targets need to be achieved, this ideally can be a very crucial aspect for the four people who were told this, especially when it comes from a person at top management. So what is the focus on? That they do not argue, do not discuss, do not put forward their views, they just accept it as one aspect that this target needs to be achieved within the next 3 days. They start focusing on how they can do it because at times this task can be a challenge. Because messages from superiors are considered to be more important than those from subordinates, the implicit rule is that communication channels, except for prescribed information flows, should not be cluttered by messages from subordinates, but should remain open and free for messages moving down the chain of command. Junior should be seen and not heard. It's still an unwritten, if not explicit, law of military protocol. So they feel that when junior should be seen, it means that they ideally don't need to speak a word. They have to blindly follow what is told.